Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
They can hear us? That seems like a mistake.
Holy cow. Reading. All right. There we go. Hey, everybody. Kai Rizdahl back on a Thursday, a hollowed-out shell of a Thursday, on which I don't really feel so bad, the reasons for which in a moment. But it's me, Make Me Smart Daily. Molly Wood's on the other end of the phone, here to make today make sense.
Yeah. Yep. Early in the week, I predicted that, I hoped, yeah. I issued a plea to the universe that it would be like a sort of an uphill slide from Monday. And at least for me, mood-wise, it has mostly been, even if news-wise, it has not.
Yeah.
But I think between sunshine outside my window and Kai's pending out-of-office reply
buddy.
We will be hopefully a little less hollowed out than usual. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, the news is not great. Look, I'm not going to lie.
No.
It's not great.
No.
Some parts are so horrifying that I can't even look at them lest I throw up.
Yes. All right,
see also my Twitter feed. Hey, so the virus, still super duper here, and even in places that sort of thought they had it under control, it is starting to come back. The World Health Organization warned today that coronavirus cases are surging alarmingly in Europe as a, quote, very serious situation unfolds across the continent. People have gotten really, I guess, complacent. It is, you know, it's spreading. The biggest proportion of new cases is among 25 to 49-year-olds. Countries across the continent eased lockdowns and reopened their economies, and now more outbreaks are happening.
Yeah. And that on top of the CDC saying yesterday it's going to be like, you know, Q2 2021 before there's a virus going, like late 2021.
Yeah, a vaccine.
Before a vaccine. Yeah. It, you know, it's really funny. People have not wrapped their heads around the fact that this, and count me among them. I was late to the, this is going to be, it's going to be a long while party because I'm fundamentally optimistic, but it's going to be a long while.
It's going to be a long while. Yeah. And wow, it's apparently going to include power washing of my deck.
That was. That's all good. It's all good. Look, I get the lawnmowers next door. You get the power washers. Whatever.
Anyway, yes, it has not gone away. Every time, I'm sorry, you guys. Every time you think it's gone away, it's going to be back. Yeah. The CDC was saying, despite what you may have heard to the contrary from the president, the CDC has been very clear that everybody wears a mask.
Yep.
We don't even probably maybe need to have a lockdown. Like, maybe I was wrong and it could just be 6 weeks of sustained mask wearing. But we're going to have to get there.
Yep.
We are going to have to get there because this is not going away. And every time you turn your head, it's going to come right back like a zombie. You got to double tap this.
Double tap. All right. What else you got? You got two in there. What's your other one?
I totally have two. No shame in my game whatsoever.
I got two, so I was late to the game. But
it's all good. I like it. Why not? You know what? It's like your last day before vacation.
I know.
Well,
I can do what I want.
A little jumbo.
That's right.
Yeah, not jumbo in length, but a jumbo show.
Yes.
We supersized it. I got to give credit, actually, to BuzzFeed, Ryan Mack at BuzzFeed, who reported this originally and literally came on our show the day before his story came out. So that was 2 weeks ago. But I still think it's worth noting, the Wall Street Journal actually picked it up again today, Facebook has internal Facebook. And on internal Facebook, there's been so much of the type of discourse that happens on Facebook all the time that Facebook stepped in to police internal Facebook because it was too problematic to have all of the shouting and the bad discourse and the misinformation.
It's so meta and so delicious that you just have to go, that's terrible, you know?
Yeah. Yep. When we talked about it on the tech show a couple weeks ago, I was like, wait. Facebook has Inside Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg personally intervened on matters of speech on Inside Facebook.
Like, I know.
The irony is hurting my
brain. Can we have some
consistency
here, please, Zuck?
You know? Just a little bit. Yeah. So I raised this partly because, so I did this Ask Me Anything event with investors yesterday, me and Kimberly Adams, which is so delightful. And among the questions I was asked was, you've had this ongoing disagreement with Kai over this question of like free speech online.
Oh.
And, exactly. Huh.
People,
and he was
wait,
like,
wait, people are paying attention and listening? Well, that changes my whole ball game here. What?
Right? I know. Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
We will be held accountable for the musings of our past.
Yeah, right.
But he said, you know, has your thinking evolved? And I was like, you know what? Yes, it has. Because many times on the show, I have argued about the slippery slope and the creeping danger of giving these guys power over what we see online. And I still maintain that that is a slippery slope, and I don't want Mark Zuckerberg to decide what we're seeing.
Yep.
But I think where I was wrong is that he already is. And it's not – in that AMA, I was like, oh, my God, I got to write this down because I'd never thought of it this way before. What we see on social media isn't like free speech as we think of it. In the classic definition of free speech, it is, if anything, market manipulated speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's like popped up to the top if it is engaging and it gets you to click and it gets you to fight.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's incentivizing this whole wave of like influencers and publishers who make a lot of money publishing disinformation. And so it's not like it's literally like how there's no such thing as a free market because there's all these different incentives that pervert it. Same deal. So I was forced to admit that, yes, I may be wrong about that. And I think actually Facebook does continue to treat outside Facebook just like it treats inside Facebook.
Yeah. So interesting. That's so funny that they've got an inside Facebook and Zuckerberg's all over it. You're like, dude, duh.
Uh-huh. Come on, man. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. God.
All right.
So, yeah. That's my two.
Okay. So I've got two. One's in our sweet spot. One's not, but it irks me, and I'll explain why. Number one, and this goes back to something from the National Restaurant Association that we had on Marketplace earlier this week, but Yelp, which has all kinds of data about companies and how they're doing and when they're open and when they're not and what the reviews are and all this jazz. Yelp data, okay, shows 60% of business closures due to the coronavirus pandemic are now permanent. 60%.
Wow. That's terrible.
And it goes to what we are going to be like as an economy when this thing is done. Because I've said this before, and I'm a broken record, but the restaurant down the street that you love is not going to be there. The toy shop in the little town near where I live has already closed. I mean, it's going to be different, and we have not yet wrapped our heads around that. And I think people just need to be aware of it. People need to be aware of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was item one in the sweet spot. The second item crossed my Twitter feed late in the day, and I just decided to stick it in here because something needs to be said. Something must be said. So Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is on a speaking tour, and he's going to get down to a Texas church, and he's going to do a thing at the end of an official trip this weekend, about which, okay, fine. But then he's going to go to Wisconsin, a swing state, perhaps the swing state, and he's going to give a speech in the state capitol in Madison. Two, and this is a quote from the Secretary's office. Secretary of State Michael R. Pompeo will deliver remarks to legislative, business, and military leaders in the Senate chamber of the Wisconsin State Capitol in Madison at 11:05 a.m. Central Daylight Time, Wednesday, September 23rd. And that just bugs me because it's not right, because it's people using the power of the state for political gain. See also the Republican National Convention at the White House and any one of a number of other things that have been done by this administration. And I just want to get that on the record because part of the premise of doing the show every day was to make people pay attention to stuff that they might have been missing. And I think this is one that could have slid by as opposed to like Bill Barr's speech yesterday and like the president's speech in the National Archives today. That'll be in the headlines. But this little speech by Pompeo in a swing state, something just more than a month before the election, is kind of interesting. And I just want to point that out. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll get back in my
lane.
I'm
glad you did.
I'll get back in my lane. My lane is being reoccupied. There we go.
Yeah.
You know?
There was a good piece in the Journal, Might have been the Times. I will try to find it for our show page. A good piece about all of the various people throughout our government who have lost their jobs or been censured or had other consequences as a result of violating the Hatch Act in various ways.
Oh, yeah.
And how they are feeling about the double standard.
Yep.
That, I mean, that this is unquestionably a campaign event.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Kind of stunning.
Yep.
Kind of stunning. All right, Drew, hit it.
Stunning.
Hit it, hit it, hit it. There we go. Once again, I can look through the glass.
Look at that.
Your child is your happy place? That's what the Rundown
says. I mean, he just is. I know this seems like a cop-out.
No, I did it months ago. I said something about Liv, my daughter. Yeah.
It's really true. Like, my Make Me Smile Today is my child. Because as we sit here all the time, especially this week, talking about the burden of homeschooling and how difficult it is and what parents are going through. And I just had to take a moment to be like, my child is also going through this. And I hope he doesn't hear me on the phone talking about how difficult it is every single day, because he is great and he is doing great. And most of our children are doing great. And I don't know how, but I am so appreciative. And also that little stinker, he made me a turkey sandwich today with cheese puffs on the side.
Yeah, buddy. Good stuff. Good stuff. Kids are good. And you know what's amazing?
They're good.
They're making it through this. Look, and let's be clear, there's not great things being done to their development on any one of a number of levels, but they're getting through it. And that's cool. That's cool.
Love it.
Okay, mine, and this one is it's my ode to Bridget Bodner. It's my official welcome to her as a senior producer of this podcast. Bridget, as probably nobody on this podcast listening audience knows, has a thing for Martha Stewart. There's some kind of idol thing going on. There's some kind of, I don't even know what it is, but she's a Martha Stewart person. There was a piece in the New York Times today about Martha Stewart's latest enterprise. And I'm just going to read the caption to the photo that headlines this article, and then we're going to have Tony put it on the show page. Martha Stewart is putting her name behind a new line of CBD products, including pâte de fruits, shown here on a necklace she strung together. Quote, I popped 20 of them and just feel okay, she said. But
yes.
some of my friends do too and feel high. Come on, man.
Martha.
How about that? Martha's not messing around. You throw that in with the picture from a couple of months ago on her Instagram being all blissed out in her pool. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, Bridget will find it. She'll put it in Slack. She'll put it on the show page. Yeah. She's just, I admire the absolute H-E double hockey sticks out of her. Truly do.
Oh, she's phenomenal. Yeah. She is absolutely phenomenal. And also, what's so great about it is further on the story where she talks about how, shocker, she got turned on to weed by her buddy Snoop Dogg.
Oh, I know. I know, I know, I know, I know.
They're just totally friends. And she's I want there to be tape of this, because she is quoted in the New York Times as saying, we sat next to each other for 7 hours, Ms. Stewart said. Snoop must have smoked 10 giant fat blunts.
Oh, man.
And I inhaled all that smoke. I felt really good.
That's Martha Stewart contact high, right?
Please tell me that Martha Stewart is somewhere on tape saying 10 giant fat blunts, because I will pay an absurd sum of money for that tape.
Oh, man.
That is awesome.
So there you go. And I'll tell you what, you got to check out this picture with these things around her neck, and she's eating them, and you're like, you are just
stoned. She looks so happy. And she's got three necklaces of them around her neck. I'm getting some of these. This is a great idea. It's legal here, you guys.
That's right. That's right.
Just calm down.
That's right. So there you go.
Oh, Martha.
That's my
thing. That was awesome.
That's my thing.
That is it for our daily show. That is it for Kai for 9 days.
I know.
Lucky. No, that's fantastic. We are all actually really excited for you. Tomorrow, I will get to host Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream with Rima Kreis, host of the Marketplace podcast, This Is Uncomfortable. So tune in to the Marketplace 8 p.m. YouTube channel at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Kyle will be in the forest. The end.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Rose Conlon, who once again is saying, what am I doing here? Yep. Tony Wagner puts everything on our show page. Ben Hethcote does video. Ethan Parrott, of course, the hardest working intern in the business. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also those explainers on your smart speakers.
Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad, who I know also sits down every time and is like, here we go with these idiots. Our theme music was composed by Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez. They get paid for this. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner, senior producer and Martha Fan, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. What are Martha Fans called? Is it like the Martha Nation? Martha Thirst Trap, Tony called it. That's hilarious.
Boom.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.